Sportscast November 15th. Welcome to another episode. Please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously on the ranking. Let's try to get it up in the sports category update. And, of course, you can visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. Create a picture, create a verse, put it together, share it to the world. Myles Garrett made news overnight, Thursday Night Football. He used a helmet as a weapon towards Mason Rudolph. And to talk to us a little bit about the Steelers and the Browns, and maybe some, and also some Myles Garrett, Ryan Krista, welcome back.
San Diego, it's good to be here. Happy Friday to Sports World. Thursday night brought a lot of drama. You know, it's a game that was probably lacking, you know, much drama, you know, closing moments of a game that the Browns actually needed to stay in a playoff race, you know, a team they hadn't beaten in a very long time. And instead of talking about that, we're talking about Myles Garrett nearly killing Mason Rudolph last night. A very bizarre, you know, there was some physicality of that game, you know, there's no lop offs between these two teams. Earlier in the game, we had Randall was ejected from the Browns on a hit to the head. Two teams, you know, they've had history, but, you know, I didn't see this coming. You know, there wasn't, you know, okay, something might break out. Sometimes when you see this, you can see the game getting very chippy, but I didn't see that, you know, during, you know, the last couple minutes of the game. You know, it kind of looked like the Steelers, you know, kind of just getting out of this game and moving on, you know, and Myles Garrett had something else, you know. I mean, was he provoked, you know, to bring everybody back, but I haven't seen it, you know, when the last plays of the game, you know, Mason Rudolph drops back, throws, you know, an incomplete pass, and then gets, I think, late hit by Myles Garrett, you know. He took exception to it, you know, it looked like they were jawing, you know, maybe a little bit of pushing on the ground. Something you see kind of, you know, a lot, you know. Mason Rudolph had a rough game, you know, probably frustrated, you know, but Myles Garrett didn't appreciate, you know, him, you know, his aggressiveness towards him, you know, and grabbed, you know, Rudolph's helmet and, you know, tried to strike him on, you know, Mason Rudolph's head without a helmet on with his own helmet, you know, and after that, you know, Ponce from the Steelers, you know, went and attacked Garrett, you know, and then, you know, ended up, you know, kicking and punching. Both of those guys got ejected, but it was definitely, you know, uncalled for, you know, disrespectful, kind of borderline disgusting, really, if you gotta say, you know, stuff like this does not belong in sports and definitely not in football, you know. Obviously, football is a violent game, but you've got to have respect for, you know, for your opponent, and if you do something like that, you really don't have respect for yourself or your team, you know, and that kind of goes to the point of Freddie Kitchens and the Browns and what's their major weakness on disciplineness. You know, this team is, you know, commits a lot of stupid penalties and really keeping, you know, if you look at all the games they lost, you know, the difference in winning and losing is their undisciplinedness, and that could keep them away from the playoffs. You know, they're 4-6 right now, and hanging on by a thread, you know, they've really got two wins this week, you know, beat the Bills and now the Steelers, but that's not what they're talking about. Now they got this distraction, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, coming up. You know, the league has already said that Garrett's suspended for the rest of this year and probably, you know, maybe into next year we'll hear, probably as the summer goes on, what the suspension list, and I believe Ponce got 3 games, and then another player for the Browns, you know, after, you know, Mason Rudolph got attacked by Garrett, you know, another guy comes in, pushes him to the ground, you know, he got suspended for a game.
The NFL announced Friday that the Cleveland Browns defensive end, Myles Garrett, has been suspended for the rest of this season, including the playoffs, should the Browns make it. And it will have to meet with the commissioner's office before reinstated in 2020. Garrett ripped the helmet off Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph and clubbed him in the head with it in the final seconds of last night's game, Thursday Night Football. Miles Garrett just released a statement, and he said, "I made a terrible mistake. I lost my cool, and what I did was selfish and unacceptable. I know that we all are responsible for our actions, and I can only prove my true character through my actions moving forward. I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, my teammates, our entire organization, our fans, and to the NFL. I know I had to be accountable for what happened, learn from my mistakes, and I fully intend to do so." What are your thoughts about his apology?
You know, it's not nice, but, you know, that's a prepared statement. You know, he's, you know, trying to protect himself and the organization, you know. And in the end, you know, he wants to go back to play football, you know. I think that what's sad is, you know, he's one of the best players, defensive players, on their team, but not just on their team, you know. He's going to be one of the best, you know, defensive players in the league, you know. Strong, he's quick, you know, and creates a lot of havoc for opponents' offense. So he wants to get back on the field, you know, and he wants to go out there, you know, and he'll probably, he was in line, you know, in a couple of years to get a huge contract, you know, from the Browns or whoever, you know, to be playing football, you know. And now, is he going to get that contract? Because you don't know what type of person he is, so you know what type of player he is, but, you know, are you going to be willing to give him all that money? It's just not a good look for the Cleveland Browns, an organization that has a lot of black eyes, and this is just another one.
Miles Garrett played college football at Texas A&M. He was drafted by the Cleveland Browns first overall in the 2017 NFL draft. He's only a rookie and a half. Like, this is his sophomore season. But he's also a hothead. He's had issues before. Do you think this is a wake-up call for him?
Yeah, this is his third season, Santiago, but he was a rookie two years ago.
That's right.
Last year they drafted Baker Mayfield number one. He got fined, you know, earlier this year with a hit on the Jets quarterback. A hit they needed a fine for, but it was within the framework of football, you know. But again, you know, when the quarterbacks, you know, the NFL is going to protect them, and that's just the case of that. This is just beyond that. This is, you know, I said, you know, self-respect, respect for the game, respect for, you know, the football, you know. And this is just a bad look for football in general, Santiago. If you look at the numbers of kids playing youth football, and it keeps on declining, you know, because it's a rough game. And now, is this just an instance of, you know, the game just getting a little bit out of control, and this may, you know, affect more kids playing football?
That's something that parents got to decide what to do. Football is a very physical sport. But fights in the NFL happen, don't get me wrong. I don't remember, like, the very last time a big fight happened.
You get scrums, you know, you get physicality, but in the end, the players usually respect each other, and, you know, nothing usually amounts to any of these fights, you know, because who's going to punch anybody when they got a helmet on? And that's what made this different, you know. You had a person, you know, who couldn't protect themselves because they didn't have a helmet on, and then let's use that helmet as a weapon. I mean, Santiago, if you did that on the street, you'd find yourself in jail, you know, and I don't know if that's out of question right now. I don't know if he'll get charged with anything, you know. If you remember years ago, there was a hockey player named Todd Bertuzzi who ended up serving time in jail for a hit using a hockey stick as a weapon, so on the ice during the game. So there's precedent for that.
Mason Rudolph's agent will be looking into investigation and maybe submitting a police report. So possible lawsuit as well. So we'll see things in Cleveland, also in Pittsburgh. Mason Rudolph, a quarterback and probably the heir to Ben Roethlisberger, the future of the Steelers. So we'll see where things are panning out. Of course, Browns got to win, but don't know why Miles Garrett got into an altercation situation. Altercation is a strong word. Anyways, let's move on to college football. as predicted, Florida pummeled through Vanderbilt 56-0. We weren't surprised. You know, Vanderbilt hasn't been in Florida since 1988. So, are you pretty confident?
I think I said on a podcast last week it wasn't going to be, if we're going to beat Vanderbilt, it was going to be by how much. That team playing with their third string quarterback just posed no threat offensively to the Gators, and the Gators, Vanderbilt doesn't have a strong defense, but to put 56 points on any team in your conference is quite the showing. And San Diego, frankly, mistakes in the first half of that game, they could have gotten to 70 points in that game. They left a lot of points on the board in the first half.
Like Oregon, Nevada, 72-0.
Yeah. So we lost, two interceptions in the first, half, in the red zone. So there is mistakes and there's room to grow. And, this week's game against Murray is going to be quite the test and kind of a statement to show the rest of the SEC, that they're still a good team, and they may not go at the SEC championship game or be a playoff contender, but they're still going to be a force to reckon with because Missouri's beaten the Gators the last 2 years quite convincingly, and the Gators have always, struggled against Missouri and Missouri's. So I think they've only, since they joined the SEC, only beaten Missouri one time on the road. So it's definitely an important game, because you definitely want to get to a year six bowl game. And if they lose this, they definitely won't get to that, But so there's still a lot to play for. And, there's still that some chance that Georgia loses the next two games, and they're going to be able to go to the SEC championship. So there's a lot on the table. They show the country last week in the SEC that they're able to shake off that Georgia loss. And Kyle Trask, while throwing two interceptions, threw the ball very well, moved through it a lot of different receivers, got everybody involved, it kind of showed how much talent this team really has on offense, they still struggle running the ball, yes, but this passing game has taken, under Dan Mullen, has taken a lot of big strides.
Kelly Bryant, the biggest name from Missouri, I'm sure you're you probably know a whole lot about him. Hasn't been healthy for weeks. Was in a shutout, lost to Georgia, and while he's playing against the Gators, he hasn't been himself. Like Ryan was saying, 2 years in a row, Missouri has beat him, but I think this Florida team could handle Missouri, way more talented. And Florida has they do have a thing to play for. Like they do have a chance to make it to the SEC championship, even though maybe Ryan doesn't believe so, but Georgia is playing Auburn this weekend, Ryan, and Auburn does have a chance to beat Georgia in Auburn.
Yeah, so what I like about the timing of this game, San Diego, Auburn and Georgia play at 3:30. Florida and Missouri play at noon. So, if it's vice versa and Georgia beats Auburn, that kind of deflates because now there's not, you don't have that to play for. But, with this team playing before, you don't know what happens the next game, so you're going to go out there and bust your butts and try to get that victory because, as Sandy Adams said, it's all on the table. They don't control their destiny, but it's still there to play for, and you're right about that. But most importantly, in college football, the games mean so much, San Diego, because you only get so many of them. And you just, in conference games, you want to win as many conference games as possible because that's pride. So whether the game, means something or not, anytime you go on the field, you want to represent yourself and, the Gator brand.
Looking at Georgia, obviously Florida has a small destiny, but they depend on Georgia on losing. They got Auburn this weekend. Not easy. They get Texas A&M in Georgia, and they get Georgia Tech. Can they lose two out of the three?
I just say this, San Diego, the Georgia Tech game means nothing because that's a non-conference game. So Georgia's got to lose these next two games. Yes, I think there's I would say 50. I say about 50-50 that, Georgia and Auburn, the game's in Auburn, and, for various reasons, Auburn, should play well in this game. Georgia's dealing with tons of injuries, especially on their offensive line, and what's Auburn's strength? Their defensive line. So they're going to be able to get pressure, stop the run, you know, make life tough on Jake Fromm and Swift. But, you know, what have we seen? We've seen Bo Nix for Auburn really struggle in big games. But San Diego, this is the first big game that's going to be played at Jordan-Hare Stadium. If you remember their games against Florida and LSU, where he struggled mightily, those games were on the road. And even against Texas A&M, where they eventually won the game, you know, he didn't play necessarily a great game. He didn't play a great game against Oregon at the beginning of the season. That was a neutral site game. So, and at his home stats, well, not against superior competition, have been a lot better at home than on the road. So I expect Bo Nix, you know, to put up, you know, solid numbers in the game tomorrow. Kind of go throw for throw with, you know, with I think one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in college football, Jake Fromm.
Can Auburn be the spoiler?
Absolutely, Santiago. I just don't hold my breath that next week Texas A&M can be the spoiler and have the Gators get in by beating Georgia on the road. But that's here nor there, and that's next week's discussion. But this week, yes, I told you 50-50. Georgia's a great team. They got a lot of talent. And they, you know, when they play a talent, I don't know if Auburn can win. But remember this game 2 years ago, Santiago. We're looking almost at the same situation. Remember 2017, Santiago. Auburn, a two-loss team coming into this game, really pummeled Georgia. And what did they do? You know, 2 weeks later, they went and they pummeled Alabama. You know, and then they go and play Georgia with a chance to go to the playoffs and end up losing. Georgia and Alabama make it to the playoffs. But so an odd number of years, Auburn really has a chance to finish with a statement because they both get Georgia and Alabama at home. And they definitely, under Gus Malzahn, do play better at home.
Looking at the playoff rankings that came out Tuesday night, LSU is number one, Ohio State is number two, Clemson is number three, Georgia number four. Looking outside in, Alabama, Oregon, and Utah. How do you see the rankings?
I think the rankings right now, they're racing to show what's important to the committee. You know, the only matter rankings that matter is that for, you know, that one in December after the season's over. So, but, you know, what I know from watching the games and knowing, you know, the schedule left is, you know, Ohio State, you know, while they get records this week, you know, they got their two big games coming up against State and Michigan. They win those, and then the Big East, or Big Ten championship, we know they're in. Clemson probably got the easiest road to the playoff, you know. They went out, you know, they got Wake Forest coming up, which will be a tough game. But after that, you know, smooth sailing into the conference championship game, which still wouldn't pose too much threat. You know, they win and they're in. LSU, obviously, they got their major hurdles are over with, you know. They just got to make sure they don't have any brain farts, especially against like a team like Ole Miss on the road next this week. I would not be surprised to see that game being played in the fourth quarter as a highly competitive game. You know, this is going to be Mississippi's Super Bowl coming up this week at a home game with, you know, the number one team in the country. But other than that, you know, LSU will cruise until the championship game. You know, will they face either most likely Georgia, but we can hold on hope, Santiago, that the Gators will be there. But so, you know.
A lot of variables, you know, for the Gators. They got to win out,
yeah.
Have Georgia lose twice, and win the SEC championship against LSU.
Yeah. So anyway, so we know LSU, we know Ohio State, and we know Clemson really control their destiny. Teams that, you know, like Georgia, you know, Georgia probably controls their destiny. They went out, you know, and beat Auburn and win the SEC East, their SEC championship against LSU, presumably. They're probably going. So they kind of control their destiny. But we still got, you know, these teams that, you know, we talk about all these other teams, but we can't forget about Baylor and Minnesota because they're still there. They're kind of like
they're in the running.
In the room, yeah, San Diego, they're in the running. They're undefeated. Yes, their schedule, non-conference schedule, isn't there, but
yeah, and Minnesota has Iowa and Baylor has Oklahoma this weekend, so things could be interesting.
Major game. Yes, I mean, and I think, you know, you look at most experts, and probably, you know, Minnesota after that major game last weekend, you know, against Penn State, you know, you expect, you know, a letdown on the road against Iowa.
Huge win.
You would not be surprised if you see them lose. And then, obviously, Baylor playing Oklahoma, I know it's at home, but does Baylor have enough offense against Oklahoma? They play great defense, Baylor, and I know it's actually more on the state team in the Big 12 plays great defense, but they do. But do they have enough offense right now? They're struggling. You know, they've won a couple of games in the last moment against lesser quality teams. So do not be surprised if Baylor's. But until those two teams lose, they control their own destiny into that chance, you know, into that playoffs too, Santiago.
Everyone controls their own destiny, including Ryan. Let's move on to the NFL. The Denver Broncos broke a two-game losing streak by beating the Cleveland Browns 24-19 at home, led by replacement quarterback Brendan Allen. In his first NFL regular season game, Allen went 12 of 20 for 175 yards with two touchdowns and no interceptions. Is Brendan Allen the future of the Broncos?
Probably not, San Diego, but he's holding on the fort. You know, Drew Lock is back practicing, you know, so it's only a matter of time, you know, before, you know, we're looking at the future of the Broncos, hopefully, and that's former Missouri quarterback Drew Lock, who got a couple wins against my Gators, but luckily he won't be suiting up for the Tigers tomorrow. But he is a second-round draft pick. He's going to get a shot sooner than later, but, you know, until this week, you know, we got Brandon Allen going up into the great tundra of Minnesota this week to face, you know, a very well-balanced Vikings team. It's going to take a great effort for the Broncos to, you know, be in this game. But, you know, they played earlier this year. They played the Packers very tough up in Lambeau Field and, you know, almost came up with a victory. So, you know, they played, you know, the Broncos got talent on defense where they play hard on defense, you know, play well. You know, it's a matter of trying to get offense, you know, and, well, Brandon Allen's not going to light up the scoreboard. As long as he keeps mistake-free, he's going to give the Broncos a chance to win.
The Broncos are definitely looking towards the future. The AFC West, Broncos are 3-6, Chargers are 4-6, Raiders are 5-4, and Chiefs are 6-4. So AFC West, it is competitive at center level.
Santiago, you know, we're Broncos, you said, you know, at 3-6. Samuel, they've lost three games in the last 15 seconds of the game.
That's not
three
bad.
Games where they led going into the last minute of the game. The Broncos won two of those, and they're right in the driver's seat, Santiago.
They're back in the thick of things.
That's frustrating. You know, but should have quit you with you, Santiago, you know, but.
Something to definitely look at. The NFL is panning out itself. The Ravens are the best team in the – no, well, not really. Second best team in – well, maybe the first. It depends who you ask. But we'll see what
– If we're asking our fellow sports host Justin Riley, they're probably the best team. But I know they beat the Patriots, and they finally beat the Patriots. But
can they beat the Patriots in New England?
That's a million-dollar question, San Diego.
And I don't think that can happen.
I don't think so either. But
– the games have to be played, don't they?
Exactly. And, you know, you can't think of two quarterbacks who play the game totally different between Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady.
I'm sure Belichick will be ready.
I could take comparison, you know, years ago when, you know, the 49ers were, you know, striding under Colin Kaepernick, you saw that same type of offense they're running, you know, a college-type spread offense, you know. And I see so many similarities, you know, between that Super Bowl run the 49ers had, you know, under Kaepernick and Harbaugh, you know, several years ago, where they end up losing to the, you know, the Ravens in the Super Bowl, but, you know, where they were just, you know, killing teams with this run-based quarterback run offense, you know, because you just don't see it very much in NFL football. It's more of a college-based. So until teams start figuring out, you know, I think, you know, the Ravens will have a chance to make it to at least the AFC Championship against the Patriots.
Well, the games have to be played. So we'll see if the Ravens are the real deal playoffs, end of the season. So anyways, are you ready for game predictions?
Absolutely, Santiago.
Let's start with a one-loss Alabama at Mississippi State.
I think it's going to be a long day for the Bulldogs and Joe Moorhead. You know, Alabama's very frustrated how that game went last week against LSU, and I think they're going to take it, you know, whether Tua plays or plays a lot or plays 100%, it doesn't matter who's out there, San Diego. They're, you know, just let those frisbee-catching dogs that Alabama has on the outside. It's going to be a long day. Roll Tide.
Indiana at Penn State.
Oh, if we want to talk about a sneaky team, San Diego, the Indiana Hoosiers. They are, you know, a team under Tom Allen, you know, who's going bowling already. You know, kind of a, you know, under the radar team, you know. Who, you know, they're really the only game they really struggled against this year was against Ohio State, and who hasn't struggled against Ohio State? So I expect this game to kind of come down to the wire, especially Penn State, focusing on their big matchup next week against Ohio State. But since Penn State did lose last week against Minnesota, I don't think they're going to have a two-game losing streak, so I'm going to pick the Nittany Lions if they get back on track.
Florida at Missouri.
Chom-chom Gators, you know, I think, like we said, they got a two-game losing streak against Missouri. Got to get back on track, keep our title hopes alive, and I think they're going to, you know, roll right over the Tigers, you know, even if Kelly Bryan does play for Missouri.
Michigan State and Michigan.
Is there a more disappointing team in the country than Michigan State? Is it time for Mike D'Antonio to step aside and, you know, and let push blood back into Sparty? But those questions will be asked after the season, but, you know, tomorrow will be all Wolverines.
Navy at Notre Dame.
Here's an interesting fact, Santiago. A 273-game losing, or not losing, home sellout streak will be ended tomorrow is when the midshipmen visit Notre Dame, which is kind of odd, Santiago. This is a sneaky good game. The midshipmen are 7-1, Santiago. Their only loss being on a Thursday night in Memphis. You know, so you would think a game, you know, one of the only the four games this week between two top 25 teams would draw a good crowd, but I guess not. And I'm not quite sure how this game really is going to go, but I just think Notre Dame's got more talent, and I think they end up winning this game.
Kansas at Oklahoma State.
It's hard to go against my man Les Miles, but, you know, Oklahoma State is a very good team. Trevor Howard is a great running back, and I think they'll win this game pretty easily.
Wisconsin at Nebraska.
The Huskers are not who they thought they were going to be, and I think Jonathan Taylor is going to run wild over them, so I'm going to think the Badgers keeping their Big Ten West hopes alive.
Georgia at Auburn.
The 127th meeting between these two Deep South rivals, you know, we talked about it, 50-50, but I'm going to go with the Orange and Blue and War Eagle.
Wake Forest at Clemson, ACC Classic.
Santiago, if Wake Forest had won last week, this game would be epic, Santiago. You know, but they end up falling flat against Virginia Tech. You know, I mean, if they had won, you know, this would be a game, you know, that would decide the division to see who goes to the ACC championship. But, you know, obviously it doesn't matter if that happened or not, Clemson will roll. But, you know, there's a little less intrigue in this game. But Clemson, I think, wins by at least four touchdowns.
Texas at Iowa State.
Iowa State, so close, almost pulling off a big upset last week. They were down by 14 points in 4 minutes left. I thought it was over. You know, I flip on the TV, and there you go. They're coming back for a two-point conversion to win the game that just fell short. You know, and then here comes Texas, you know, who came back, you know, against Kansas State and won in the last second. You know, they're two evenly matched teams, but I think Iowa State wins this game.
Minnesota versus Iowa, at Iowa.
Really, you know, Minnesota's playing so well right now. Iowa, well, they have a great defense, you know. And Nate Stanley, I think, is a very good quarterback for Iowa. I just really don't know what's going on with the Hawkeyes right now offensively, but they're struggling. So I'm going to say the Gophers keep their undefeated season alive.
The Gophers. LSU at Ole Miss.
I talked about this earlier. I think this game will come down to the fourth quarter, not necessarily come down to the wire, but I think it'll be one score game going to the fourth quarter, but I think the score will be misleading because I think LSU will pull ahead late and win by at least two scores. But so I'm going to say go Tigers.
Big 12 showdown, Oklahoma at Baylor.
This is a case of my head versus my heart. My heart says go Baylor. My head says I don't think they have enough offense. But usually, all cases with major decisions in my life, I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to go Baylor.
Baylor pulls the upset, pushes Oklahoma a little down on the rankings, but don't worry, they'll be okay.
They will be okay, Senator.
Chip Kelly's UCLA at Utah.
Here's an interesting fact, Santiago. UCLA controls their own destiny to go to the Pac-12 championship. If they win out, they will be your Pac-12 South Division winners, but that ain't happening, Santiago. The Utes are too good, too strong, too talented to lose to UCLA.
Is Utah a force to be reckoned with?
Absolutely, Santiago. One bad Friday night in SoCal is keeping the team from being, you know, top 3 week nationally. But, you know, they're still hanging in there. So good.
And lastly, for college football, Arizona at Oregon. Ryan. It's Ryan in there. Ryan did not make it to the show. Did not finish it off. He might be out. He feels like he's online. Ryan? Let's give him another call, guys. We give some second chances here. If not, we'll close out the show. He did not predict Arizona and Oregon, which I think he'll say Oregon, but we'll see what happens. His phone might have died. Well, it's ringing right now. Ryan?
Hey, Bandito. Sorry, I lost here for a second.
It's okay. Arizona at Oregon.
All right. We're hoping Oregon stays clean, and I think they will. And I think Arizona is just having a rough year right now. So I think the attack of the quack keeps it going.
Is this Oregon's year?
What did you say?
Is this Oregon's year?
Things are shaping up for Santiago. You know, I don't know. I think the team, you know, they got their quarterback. They got a good amount of talent. Well, some of it's young. I think they got to strike while the iron's hot. And I do think this is their year.
Jacksonville NFL. Jacksonville Jaguars at Indianapolis Colts, with the Colts that have Brissett is playing this Sunday. Jacoby Brissett.
Awesome. I think the Nick Foles. Yeah, I got to go with my man Nick Foles. I'm going to say the Jaguars win.
Liberty alum. Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins.
Oof. It's been a couple of rough weeks in the best way possible for the Dolphins, winning the last two games, ruining their dreams of a perfect season. But I do think the Bills will end that winning streak this week.
The Dallas Cowboys at the Detroit Patriots.
The Detroit Lions?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm saying that because they have a lot of Patriots, Patriot players there.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same track. I think the Cowboys get back on track and, you know, get to Jeff Driscoll-led Detroit Lions.
Dual battle. Quarterback battle. Houston at the Ravens. LeSean Watson versus Lamar Jackson.
I'm gonna go Houston.
Houston wins in Baltimore.
I think Baltimore is a better team, maybe, but I think
Houston has to win.
It's a big game for Houston.
The Saints at the Bucks.
Can the Saints get back on the winning track after being upset by the Atlanta Falcons last week? I do think they do.
Broncos at the Vikings.
I can't put my head in my heart, but like I said, the heart always wins. Go Broncos.
Broncos are coming back into form. Arizona, Kyler Murray at Garoppolo 49ers.
I think the only way this San Francisco loses this game is that they have too much of licking their wounds over, you know, that great Monday night game that, you know, they end up coming a little bit short against the Seahawks. So I'm gonna say the 49ers win.
The Patriots visit the Eagles, Super Bowl rematch.
Patriots.
And Sunday Night Football, Chicago at the L.A. Rams at the L.A. Coliseum.
Two teams that have been fairly disappointing, especially the Bears. You know, they had division hopes, title hopes, and they're all flushed on the toilet already this year, Santiago. The Rams are still kicking. They don't have it. Doesn't look good, but I think they do get this victory.
Something kind of disappointing to see the Rams going through this, little dip. But of course, Gurley, if he's not in, now we can tell the Rams are not as strong as what they were last year. But random question: who is your favorite Happy Gilmore character? You got Shooter McGavin, you got Chubbs, you got Mr. Larson, or Virginia Vinit?
Oh, I gotta go with Chubbs, man. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Classic Adam Sandler.
Chubbs.
Definitely a Chubbs guy.
Chubbs is winning by 50%. Shooter McGavin is at 33%. Mr. Larson is at 17%, and Virginia Vinette is at 0%.
No one likes the lovers in those movies.
Ryan, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Mason Rudolph?
MadDog418 on Twitter.
And you can follow us on the Sportscast, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be live tweeting college games. We'll probably be live tweeting 10:30 at night if it's nothing to do. Arizona and Oregon, big game. Every game Oregon's playing this season is going to be a tough one. Even the Beavers are going to be a tough one. And, of course, we'll be following Georgia and Auburn because Florida's fate relies on Auburn as of right now.
We're huge Auburn fans this weekend.
And, of course, Alabama, too. Alabama's hoping for Ole Miss to beat LSU.
when we talk about Alabama, I got that big game against Auburn at the end of the season. It's just kind of a weird feeling there. Again, it's kind of like 2 years ago. They really don't control their own destiny going in toward the end of the year. They're going to need a little bit of chaos.
A lot of chaos. A little different year for Alabama. LSU, if another team dominates in the SEC West, it's not good for Alabama because Alabama's has dominated that part of the conference for a while now. But LSU looks promising, Anyways, Ryan, we got to go because I got clients calling me. You got to pay bills, and you got to go see Khalid today. So
all right.
Have a great weekend. Roll Tide.
Go Gators.